Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me a secret. I don't want to know about this. Any secret of yours, I want to know about that one special secret. Because tonight, I want to learn about all the secrets in your garden. I want to read your mind, know your deepest feelings. I want to make it right for you. Baby, show me. Let me share the mystery.
We legendary about our music. Give me one moment. Let me do a little something else. Let me do a little something else. Here we go. Check it out. welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, that's how we do it at the Nation of Yehuda. Thank you for joining us again on the first day of the week for another episode of the Yehuda Project. Glad you could be here today on the first day of the week. Here we go. All praise to the Most High Yah. I don't know what happened to the first song. I do most apologize. I don't know what happened, but, you know, sometimes we just have a little glitch. But hope everyone's well. So enjoyed the class yesterday. What a blessing it was. You know, I hope everybody enjoyed it because it was truly a blessing. All praises be to the Most High Yah. You know, I wanted to say something. First of all, Brother Uriah, if you can hear me, push one. If you can hear me. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Okay, so first of all, I want to say that I had the pleasure today of listening to an interview by a young man. I usually don't say names, and I'm not going to. But this young man has gone through a divorce recently. And he's been on YouTube in several interviews telling his story about what he experienced, how painful it was. And I just want to say to him, because we have talked before, and he has been on our show before, that's why I won't say names, because I don't want, you know, no fallback to come on him. I want to tell you that I really did enjoy the interview. I can appreciate it when, you know, people can be honest and that people can come on, you know, because it helps other people, you know, and in spite of what anyone thinks, because like you said, this is my truth, this is my story. In spite of what anyone thinks, you're entitled to feel the way you feel about whatever it is you feel like. Be encouraged. I know you know who we are. You know who you are. And you know who Yah is. I know you know because you've been on this show many times. I know you know those things. So the thing that I would say to you is trust Yah. You know, trust in the Most High with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I promise you he will. And that's all I got to say. Excellent show. I enjoyed it. All right, for everybody else, what's going on? What's happening in the world? What is really happening in the world? You know? Boy. I'm telling you, it's a lot going on. I do not want to be the only one talking today. I will not talk to myself today. I got too many people on this show for me to talk to myself. Brother Uriah, if you don't mind, I'm going to open up your mic because you were telling me something yesterday during the new moon ceremony about why you enjoy yesterday's show, and I didn't get to hear it all because something was going on with my phone. So I'm going to open up your mic if you don't mind. Could you tell me what it was you was trying to tell me yesterday?
No, I was just pretty much saying that how inspirational the show was yesterday for me. Very exciting. I think the thing that got me yesterday was the purpose. You know, we do things all the time. We do things every day thinking, you know, thinking one way, but Most High thinking in another way a lot, most of the time. And when y'all start talking about the purpose, we are here for a purpose. You know, I'm part of the Nation of Yehuda for this purpose, and I just never thought of it that way. So that's basically all I was saying. I was just really excited about that, very, very excited. And I think other people were too.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, I'll put you want me to put you back on mute? I will.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We have to always remember that we do have a purpose. You know, we're just not doing this willy-nilly just because we don't have anything else to do. You know, and there's a reason why some of us are the only ones that's woke in our household. There's a reason why, you know. So we have to be prepared for that, and we have to be willing to learn and do whatever it is we need to do so that when the time comes, we walk in our purpose, and our steps have been ordered from the beginning. You know, every man's steps have been ordered. But a good man's steps, as the scriptures say, has been ordered by the Most High. So, I mean, you know, learning what we know and understanding how this thing is going, it makes it easy. It doesn't stop it from feeling lonely sometimes, because everybody does. Everybody goes to that lonely spot. But you know that you have a family out here. We're a nation. We're a family. We're a people. And even though we be ignored a lot, the Most High loves us. And he's coming to get us. And that's something that we can hold fast to, because he said it. And he can't lie. You know. And everybody doesn't embrace that, but we do. Some people think this is it. You know, I'll just make do. And whenever it happens, it happens. But for the most part, you know, we know that we have an outcome. We have an exit strategy. And it gives us hope. You know, and you know, the way that I feel about the whole situation is, I know he had to teach me something. And I want to say this to everybody. I don't want you all to feel like, oh, well, Yaina just being too nice and she don't care. Let me say this. The Most High taught me one thing that I have held fast through my whole life as I learned this lesson, and that's vengeance is mine. I know that no one will escape him. No one will escape him from the punishment from the punishment of a nation to the punishment of a family, to the punishment of an individual. No one escapes the Most High's punishment. When it comes time for judgment, everybody is going to have an opportunity to go there. So I don't focus on that. I focus enough on the negative. I focus on the positive. And that's what I meant when I said yesterday about reparations and monies and all that kind of. If it does, it does. However he determines we get it, my eyes are always on Yah. I'm not looking for anybody to hand me anything and saying, look, we know we messed up and we owe you. The Most High said that it was going to end a certain way, and that's what I believe. So I have to trust him. I don't look at man. I don't wait till they get punished. It don't matter if I see it or not, because it doesn't matter whether I see it or not. If he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. My focus is him. I get excited about him. I'm getting ready to see him, or he's getting ready to allow us to experience him in a way that we've never experienced him before. So that's what I focus on, because I have questions I want answered. Sometimes he answers them now. Some questions won't be answered until later, if I remember them when I see him. But I'm more excited about seeing him. You know, I really do. I tell my kids all the time when they was going through high school, you getting up all upset over these people that you're meeting. You're allowing these people to dictate your life. You're allowing these people to help them to assist you in making bad choices that could ruin your life. And when you graduate from high school, you might see one for the duration of your life. You will never see these people again. This is just a chapter in your life that you're in now that will eventually close. So don't let them control your thoughts, your emotions, or your choices. And my last son, he just kind of looked at me puzzled, because he was a ball player. He played ball. He had team members. And I said, you'll never see these people no more. And now that he's 30 plus, I said, you remember what I tried to tell you? He said, yeah. I said, how many people do you see from high school? Really, none, maybe one. I said, I told you. And some people let people talk them into doing all kind of stuff to ruin their lives, and this is just a chapter. Life is full of chapters, and that's how I feel about this. There's going to come a time when you'll never see these people again. It'll just be a chapter that closes. All it'll be, you know, and we have to be prepared for that, and a lot of us aren't, because we feel like it's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. It's not. Hold on, area code 513, your mic is open, you're on the air.
Shalom, sis.
Shalom.
I have two questions I'd like to bring to the table for you
mm-hmm.
and for the panel. One is, if we look at the fact of reparations and we don't expect, depend on them to give it to us the way that they deem that they want to give it to us, would we recognize it any other way or how the Most High would present it to us? I mean, is it like you wake up one morning and there's just a pile of gold sitting in your living room? I mean, would we, what other avenues do we have as far as being able to recognize that spiritual table that is sitting before us?
Let me ask you this question. If you walked into the room, if you walked into your room tomorrow and you had $1 million stacked up on the table, would it matter whether it came from them or came from Yah?
No, it wouldn't. But I'm just saying, if it didn't come the way that they deem it, would we recognize that it is from Yah? Or how we're looking for him to, or we're asking, begging, pleading, praying, would we recognize it when it came?
Everything, though, I'll put it to you like this. This is how I see it. Everything that happens comes from Yah. Everything that happens to us, whether we get it from a job or whether we get it from a death of a family member, whatever, however we get it, everything that we get, all of it is his. The cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him. So all of it is his. However, you know, if you mean in terms of justification, will we feel justified by not receiving it from them because they owe us? And the scripture said we was leaving with great substance. I feel like because he could have it tucked aside. You know, he could have it tucked aside. The only reason why they got free labor in the first place is because we was disobedient. He didn't say that we were going to get our wealth from them. He said, afterwards you shall come out with great substance. He didn't say it was coming from them. So if it comes from him, how come it couldn't come from him and just be his way of giving us back what we originally had in the first place? He's the one that put us here. And the only reason why he put us here was because we were disobedient. Because if we hadn't been disobedient, no nation would have ever been able to do this to us. So, I mean, you know, I mean, that's how I see it. I don't look for it to come from nobody but him. But if it does come from them, you know, great was great substance. Like I said, his idea of great and your idea of great is two totally different things. Now, me personally, I believe that he has it already tucked away. I believe it's already in a place. I believe it's a part of Solomon's wealth that Solomon had that they can't find. I really do believe that this is something that the Most High has put away for his people. And I believe that it's a part of Solomon's wealth that they've been looking for, that they can't find it, and he's going to open up the opportunities for us to walk away with it. I really do. Because, I mean, you know, who wants to walk away with American dollars? He said it was going to be gold and silver.
So as in the aspect of physical, actually carrying out of here gold.
He said you was leaving with great substance. That's what he said. And afterwards you shall come out with great substance. Let me make sure, because I see you, Brother Linda. Give me a minute. Let me make sure I get that right. We're going to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to Genesis 15. And we're going to read 13 to 14. I want to make sure I get it right. I don't want no misunderstandings. Hold on, let me get in here. It says, and he said, this is verse 13. He said, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed, we know that that's them 20 people that stepped foot in Port Comfort, Virginia in 1619, in August of 1619, shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Those 20 Negroes, let me make sure I make that very clear. Those were 20 Negroes. They were not considered Africans. They were deemed 20 Negroes. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So we know that the children of Israel weren't afflicted for 400 years in Egypt. Also that nation, H.R. 1242, determined that America has deemed themselves that nation because they passed that law that said we've been here for 400 years. Whom they shall serve, which we serve, will I judge. That's what we're judging. That's what we're watching right now is the judgment. He said, and afterwards afterwards shall they come out with great substance. So that's what he said. That is what he said. Now, Ezekiel 38 talks about what that great substance is. He said gold and silver and, oh, okay, we're going to have cattle. Now, I don't believe we're going to take no animals with us when we leave. I don't. But, you know, it's like Abraham told the four kings that he had ran into after they had the war, and they tried to give him money. And he said, I don't want to say that you gave me nothing. I think it's going to come from the Most High. I really do. I mean, I could be wrong. I really do. Let me open up his mic real quick. Hold on. Brother Leonard, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, when you trace the gold that they brought us over here, that was our gold they brought over here too. The Massa Musa is what brought them to us. He was in the interior of Africa, but when Massa Musa came out on the scene, then that sparked the West to want to know where he get all that gold from that he had. So that's what brought them over. So when they got over there, not only did they get us, they got our gold, temple and all that. But the thing about it with me, on my search, is that it's amazing that it's broken down in bars. They can be individually passed out. That's the thing about it that amazes me.
Yeah, and it's a possibility we're going to walk away with. I mean, it don't really matter where I get it from. But when he said great substance, that's what he mean. And his idea of great and your idea of great is two totally different things.
Right.
That ain't no little bit of money. You know, but the fact of the matter is that he said it, so we stand on it. That, I mean, you know, we don't have it today. You know, I really could use a few dollars. I'm telling y'all out there, whoever, I need something like now. But, I mean, you know, I can wait till the gold come, but I need something like yesterday. You know, hey, it is what it is. I'm serious. Well, however he do it, it works for me.
I was asking that question as well because, you know, a lot of things are changing in the world, and a lot of other countries' economy is changing to where it's backed by gold. But it's not saying that we are getting anything that is backed by gold. We're getting the gold itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how we live. We always had gold. That's how our kingdom was. It was full of gold. You know, everything was laced with gold or trimmed with gold. It was gold. Gold and silver was something that we had plenty of.
Yeah, you got two types of gold, too. The Bible always putting emphasis on that too. You got the gold from Ophir. That was a different type of gold. You know, the gold of UPAD. That's what triggered when Master Mufi came. You see, he had a different type of gold. That's what, you know, and that crown he had on his head. And they wanted to know where it came from.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. I mean, even in Genesis, they talk about that gold city, the gold where all the gold is in the land of Havilah. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a different place. So he got it. It ain't like the Most High don't have it. He got it at his disposal.
Right.
They can hand it to you while you get no. Don't make me no different. I really don't. You know? They can have it waiting on you when you step on the boat. They hand it to you. It could.
You can definitely see why we would need something as big as those ships because that's going to be a lot of weight.
Yeah, it is. You know. Yeah, it is. But, I mean, it is. It's an exciting thing. That's a lot of gold. The land of Havilah. Let me see what it say. You know, it's just a land that, you know, we just have to, it is what it is. I mean, you know, we just have to wait on him. And that's the hardest part, is to wait on him. You know, but I mean, you know, when you looking at them, be like, uh-uh, they owe us. I don't care about none of that. I'm ready to go be wherever y'all want me to be. You know, that's how I look at it.
That's true. I mean, because it's just things are changing so rapidly. It's like every day something else is being, you know, added. And it's just amazing the time we're living in and how things are speeding up so fast.
Mm-hmm.
How we really have to get to the point of really, I mean, we understand, I mean, us as a people, how we have the our differences, but it's really time for us to get to the point of really seeing each other and getting past the differences and coming together as a nation, because it's really kind of moving us in that direction to where we have to be able to, when the time comes for us to stand out on top and be who we are called to be as a nation that leads the world.
I think it's going to be a while before we do all that. I think that basically, you know, we're going to be in a place where we're going to be in a place of safety for a minute, you know, away from all the things that are happening until it's time for us to walk back into the set or the scene for us to be able to show mighty exploits. But we have to fulfill this part of the prophecy. You know, I've learned how to try to live one day at a time. I can't project out to once we get in the land what we're gonna do when we get there. I don't want to go that far. I want to be able to say, okay, let's go to the land. Let's get there. That's why I was saying Saturday that I think that we have to focus on getting there. You know, because that's what he wants us to focus on: where we gonna live, what we gonna do, how we gonna. He already got that worked out, but we have to focus on getting there. And then once our feet touch Zion, once our feet touch Canaan, then the Most High will lead us into the next phase. It's almost like Mission Impossible. You remember that old Mission Impossible? Good evening, Mr. Phelps. You know, your next mission is. We have to take our orders and do one thing at a time. And if we can just get focused on getting there, you know, gathering so that we can get there, because he's going to get us there. We ain't got to do that. He's going to get us there, but gathering, getting our minds ready to get there.
That's the key part that
we're older. Most of us are in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. You know what I mean?
But, I mean, that's the part that you're talking about, to get to that point, to gather. We can't even stand next to each other without it being an issue. That's now, where I'm talking about, right there at that point. We have to get past the differences. And
well,
gather.
I think the Most High gonna handle that. I mean, you know, because once we get on the boat and we do, I don't think all that that's gonna be straightened out right now. If he does, it'll be him to do it. And then once we get on the boat and we on our way home, he said he was gonna change our mind. Our mind is gonna have to change. Our thoughts are gonna have to change. And he'll be able to do that, but that's something he has to do, is to bring the unity. And I think it's not unified for a reason, because I really believe that everybody that's professing to be Israel is not.
I think he's taking us through the steps now because of the fact that, yeah, I think he's taking us through the steps now, slowly but surely. Because
he might be.
The youth of today, it's something, yeah, something has got to be done with that portion. And our brothers, I think to understand, because of the fact that there are so many brothers ancestors that are diving into what has been kept from us as far as truth and diving into knowledge. That's a key portion of us coming together, because now we can all come together on a common accord of saying this is how we were deceived in this way, and being able to deal from that spectrum, as opposed to everybody just living and hating on each other, and understanding that we all, you know, are in the same boat. We all have been deceived. We all, and everybody has been. But I understand your struggle, and being able to unify in a way that we understand that our children are that next generation, and because of the fact that they have so much against them, it's a whole different lifestyle that they have to live. The attack on the children as far as the LGBT, MLQ, the schooling, the education, all of that has to be at a point of where we can, with the knowledge that we are gathering, come back to ourselves and understand that we can't be a part of that. So if we can't have our children in that, we have to, there's something else that has to come up to the forefront.
Right. Well, I think that's probably true. I think that's probably true. You know.
Because I read an article about a young, and this was overseas somewhere, but the article about the young child that had the homework, that had to go home and ask her father about erection and ejaculation and come back and do a report on that. At a 10-year-old level, that's too much. That's too much for people that are within us. It's just too much for a child at 10 years old to even be exposed to in our minds. Because, I mean, my nephew is 8, and he's going through them trying to push that agenda on him. You know, so it's getting younger and younger, and as far as us being able to handle that type of situation, we're going to have to have something else to counter that.
I do agree, and you know what? It's just going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse, and the reason why we know that is because we're living in a nation that is among people that do not know the Elohim of Israel and don't care to know him. These are people that are worshiping the gods that they are worshiping, and it's a matter of a free-for-all for everybody to do what they want to do. And as long as we're here, our children have to go to those schools. They are subject to whatever teachings and whatever's allowed in the schools for them to be able to be exposed to. So I agree with you, and it's time, it's definitely time for parents to be parents and not just send them to school, because they are, hold on, man, I got to put somebody's phone on mute. For parents to send them to school and really to pay attention, because it is a lot going on in there, and some things you don't want them to know about, and some things you want to be the one to explain it to them and not anyone else. I agree 100%. And it's about time for all of us to do that.
Well, I mean, it's even from the standpoint of if a child even questions whether or not they're transgender and starts out as a boy and says that he wants to be a girl, the school they're making it to where the school has the authority to step in and take over that whole process. The parents won't even have a say-so.
Yeah, that's where we are. That's true. That's true. That's why you got to get them while they're young. And then we might have to just pull our kids out and homeschool our own children, you know, to let them know, because you have to let them know that y'all created male and female. And that what you are when you're born, what you are when you are given it in the womb is what you are. You know, and that's all you can do really is train them up, because it's like everything else. If everybody does what everybody else does, by the time you get to the point where you realize that this may not be the choice you want for the rest of your life, it's too late. Some stuff is too late. Once you change it, it's changed. So, I mean, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring this up yesterday, but the class went a certain way, and I just didn't bring it in. But I want you to listen to this real quick because I'm glad you brought that up. This plays right into what I was going to play. Listen, here we go. Check this out.
Is largely because of social media, because of the internet, because of how fast information can travel. And that could be a good thing, but that could also be a very bad thing, especially when you understand that the large majority of users on social media are children, or they're very young adults who, quite frankly, are still developing and growing and maturing themselves. So the enemy has so many opportunities to plant these seeds inside of our children, inside of our young adults, that could ultimately shape the future. And that's what we're seeing happening right now. So I want to start out with this video of a pastor reading a very perverted book that could be found in the library for 10-year-olds to consume.
That's cool.
My last name is Amanchukwu. It means I know God, and I'm glad to say that I do. I'm here today to talk about this book here. My name is John Amanchukwu, as I stated earlier. It's called It's Perfectly Normal for Students 10 and Up. This book details...
Now, this is in the schools. Now, listen.
...tells all kinds of sexual images, pictures of elderly people, nude, pictures of an individual who's in a wheelchair with his penis out. All of these sexual pornographic images are made available and placed at the fingertips of children. And I'm sure, Dr. Cruz, I don't know if you knew about this before you signed on, but hopefully this is something that you can address and deal with, because this is immoral.
Now, he's talking to a city council. He's talking to the city council or the school board.
And asinine to allow children to be able to see this. Also, this book even shows images of two women having sex, a man and a woman having sex, and two men having sex. That's not perfectly normal. Who decides what's normal? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Or do parents decide what should be placed at the fingertips and allowed to be taught to their children in the school system? I'll read some of this for you. It says, after a bit, a person's vagina becomes moist and slippery, and the clitoris becomes hard.
This is a children book, y'all. This is a book specifically written for children. Just keep that in mind.
After a bit, a person's penis becomes erect, stiff, and larger.
Pastor.
Sometimes a bit of clear fluid that may contain a few sperm comes out of the tip of the penis and makes it wet.
Can we, sir, I'm sorry.
Was it something I said? Was it something I said? If you don't want to hear it in a school board meeting, why should children be able to check it out of the school system? See, we have perverts that are perverting our kids. And you all sit back smug in your chairs and celebrate diversity, equity, and inclusion, but you don't want me to read it so you can hear it. Why? Does it bother you? Yes or no? You can't answer that question. You want to know why? Because politically speaking, you can't say that it's wrong.
Mm.
You probably are a Christian man. But many Christians today have become more Democrat than Christian.
Mm.
Some Republicans have become more Republican than Christian.
Mm.
I'm not trying to win an election. I don't get my talking points from the RNC or the DNC. I get my talking points from the BIBLE.
Mm. All right, y'all, there it is. And I looked up the book. It's called It's Perfectly Normal. That's in the schools. So, yeah, at some point we have to take control over what we allow our children to see and what we allow our children to hear and what we allow our children to be experiencing. And that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me open up the mic. Give me one moment. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yeah, what's the name of the video?
Let me see. Let me open up and see what the video is called. It's called The Signs Are Here. We're Living in the Last Days. Let me pull it up again. Whoa. I didn't mean to do that. Hold on a minute, you guys. Hold on. Jesus, I just clocked you off. Hold on a minute. Okay, let me pull up on this side. It's called, the video is called The Signs Are Here. We Are Living in the Last Days. That's what it's called.
All right, thank you. All right.
We are living in the last days. That's what it is. We are living in the last days. It's a YouTube thing. It's a young man on there. He's kind of narrating everything. But, I mean, it's just all of it. All of it is, you know, but because we are living in this society where everybody else is dictating what we read, what we know, how much education we get, what our educational process is, and we're in this society right now with our children being born into this society, these are the things that they're exposed to. And you have no control over it. That's why you have to teach your children about Yah when they're little. That's why I got them 2- and 3-year-olds teaching them about who Yah is and what it says and all of that kind of stuff, because you got to start early. There has to be a separation between us and them, the way we live and how they live, the things we tell our children and what they tell our children. Because a lot of times, eventually, it's going to come around to we're not going to be able to participate in a system. No, but it's forcing parents to be parents. You know, and that's just the truth. Because we live different from everyone else. That's why he gave us. That is why he gave us the laws and statutes and commandments. That is exactly why he gave them to us. He told us that in his word. He told us that. When he was giving us that information, he told us that. He said, this is the reason why these nations were kicked off the land of Canaan, because they did these things. He said, don't do what these nations have done. I am giving you this law so that you know that this is how I want you to live. That's what the law is all about. That's why he said, thou shalt not. And that's what he means. But when you have a nation that don't know the Most High, and he is not the God that they worship, he is not the Elohim that they serve, they come up with their own stuff. No? In Leviticus chapter 18, let me pull it up. I'm looking for it. Y'all know when I get quiet, I'm looking for the scriptures. Let me find it, because I'm going to read it to you so you'll know. It's in Leviticus chapter 18. This is the whole reason for the law. This is what he said. He said this. I'm just going to read. Hey, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. He said, verse 24, defile not ye yourselves of any of these things. He breaking down the rest of the verses. From 1 to 8 to 23 is telling you what he don't want you to do. He said, defile not yourselves in any of these things, For in all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. He said, these people did all these things. He said, and the land is defiled. Therefore do I visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomit out herself inhabitants. And then he breaks down. He said, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. There is nothing new under the sun, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Most High, your Elohim. That says you can't, you don't get no plainer than that right there. Don't get no plainer than that. You can't explain it no plainer than that. He said, don't do it. Don't do what they do. Do not do what they do. Now let's see who it was. Who was the nations that got put out? Let's see, who was the nations that got kicked off the land? Guess where we got to go? We got to go right back to Genesis chapter 15. We're going right back to the chapter we just left. And he just told Abraham, he said, in the same day, we're going into Genesis 15:18. In the same day, the Most High made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. He said, the Canaanites, they got kicked off. The Cadmonites, they got kicked off. The Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. All of these nations was the ones he was talking about in Leviticus chapter 18. He kicked them off the land and gave us the land of Canaan. Why? Because of what I just read to you in Leviticus 18, 24 through 30. This is why. He said, don't do what they do. Do not do that. So that's why. Now guess where we are? We didn't want to do it. We disobeyed him when he told us not to do it. So guess where we're sitting? We're sitting in the land among some of these Gentiles and these people that are mingled in with us. And guess what they're doing? They brought their gods with them. And guess what? They're worshiping their God. They're in charge of the school system. They run the police force. They're part of the government. Everybody's, and guess what? Then you got Israel sitting down in the middle, surrounded by all these nations that's serving all these gods, that's doing anything they want to do, and any and everything goes. So our children have to be taught by the school teachers, the people who write the books, get the school, the books into the schools. And then we, guess what? We're sitting around appalled. I can't believe the kids are going through this. But guess what? It's because of our disobedience that our generation is being defiled like it is. And we're going to have to do something to stop it. We're going to have to teach our own children. God, you're going to have to deprogram them. Because we don't live like they live. He gave us these laws, statutes, ordinances, and commandments for a reason. Everybody be like, well, it ain't no big deal. So what? Me and my husband have an open marriage. We cheat on each other. Excuse me? This is the kind of life these people live. And then they get on TV on the award show talking about, I just thank God. It's not the God. This is not your Elohim. So let's just clear that up right now. It's not your Elohim. It's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not. But this is the situation we put ourselves in. It It's bad. That's why we got to keep on praying, and we got to pray that he deliver. That's why it's very important that we get to be among ourselves, so that we can, so the Most High can deprogram us from all of this foolishness. This foolishness. All of it. Just like we played the clip last time we was on the show about the man talking about they was going to reduce the amount of beef that was being sold. They ain't getting rid of the pork. Ain't nobody said nothing about erasing the pig. They're going to make, but it's environmentally unsound to have beef. And with too much beef is bad. Please. This is the people we living around. This is what they believe. They don't know the Most High. They don't know nothing about him. So I agree with you, Sister Maria. I do. I agree with you. The whole thing has to be revised. It has to be changed. I agree 100%. But the solution is for us to get out of here. We have to continue to protect and teach our children about who the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is and how he requires us to live. And no, it ain't popular. And no, you don't get to do what everybody else does, but that's okay because in the long run, you're going to be glad you didn't do it. Some people don't even know nothing about religion, period. They don't know nothing about no God. That's the reason why he gave us the land of Canaan. And in case anybody didn't know, he said, I'm kicking them off. They did some, it runs down the things that was going on. Fathers were sleeping with daughter-in-laws the boys were sleeping with their mamas. There was all kind of crazy stuff going on. He said, the land spewed them off. The land got tired of it. It was sick of them. It was wicked. And it's the same wickedness today. It's the same stuff.
I think they've got the religion down, but the spirituality they have no idea about. I think they got the religion down.
Yeah, they do, but it ain't your God they serving.
That's right. They don't know.
They don't know him at all, and they're not going to know him. It's something, like we said, it's two types. It's two groups. It's us and it's them. And they not going to know him. This is purpose to be this way. And when you get really tired of this and you realize what this is, you'll vow never to do it again. We'll never be disobedient again. We actually had the nerve to put statues up, images of groves with other gods. After he told us not to, we brought those same gods back into Jerusalem and put them up in his face. He said, you want it? I'm going to give it to you full-fledged. I'm going to send you over there with them. And you're going to know what it is to live among them because it ain't what you think it is. And it was fun for a while until you figured out what it was. You're like, what in the world? Because see, one thing about the devil, he don't play. He don't stop. He don't change. He keeps evolving, and evil just gets worse and worse. And you might want to do it for a little minute, but after a while, your conscience gets eating you up, and it's just no stopping. And then you shock, like, oh, my God, what in the world? Well, that's what they do. That's how they do. Ain't no stopping. No, but it is what it is. I mean, it seriously is. It's like, jeez, what in the world? What are we dealing with every single solitary day? When we have to go to work. You know it yourself, walking to the workforce and as an Israelite, and you dress like everybody else dressed. Eventually, they're going to ask you to participate in Christmas. They're going to ask you to participate in Halloween. They're going to ask you to participate in Easter, because that's what they do. They don't care, like the girl said on Saturday, they don't care whether it's pagan or not. It's cultural. It's for the kids. They don't have no boundaries or nothing. They don't care nothing about none of that. And they look at you like you're crazy. Like, well, why don't you do that? Well, what's wrong? Why aren't you doing it? Because I don't do it. Well, why not? My poor little kids, I thought about them the other day when they was little. When they had Easter, Halloween parades and stuff, eventually I just kept them home from school. Like, we don't do that. But everybody doing it. Even the church folks is doing it. So everybody's doing the same thing everybody else is doing. And then you have Israel. And all you can do, you just got to teach. You got to keep talking. I just told my son that today. You got to make sure you protect those boys. And you got to teach them babies about Yah at the age they are now, 2 and 3 years old. You got, as soon as they start walking and talking, you got to start telling them who Yah is and what we do and what we don't do. You can't play about that. You can't, instead of teaching them how to dance and twerk and all that old foolishness, teach them who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. Let's start there. Now, this Bible got everything in here that you need. It's got everything you need. All you got to do is just look. It's right there for to the under. He left it there for your understanding. Everything you need is in there. Oh. So, yeah. And I hope we do get closer. I hope we come together, and I hope we get closer as a nation, and we really begin to see what this is really all about. I really do. I pray that. I pray that. I really do. But these young girls, they so far gone, they tattooing their kids. They putting tattoos on their 5-year-olds and stuff. Their mind is gone. We got to pray for them. We really do. We got to pray for them. We really, really do. We really have to pray for them, because if we don't, it's going to take y'all anyway. It's nothing we can do about it anyway. We just got to trust y'all, because there's nothing else we can do. This is in the school system, y'all. The school system. Where the babies go to school at. 10-year-olds can get a hold of the book. And then I saved this one yesterday because I got to play this one. Y'all just hold on for a minute. I got to play this one. This is an interview that a man is doing with a woman who is a preacher. And I could play, I want to just play this one little part. Let me back it up some. I want to play this one. Here we go. Listen to this.
You know the woman's purpose, right? You know what her purpose is for the man.
I know what my purpose is.
And what?
My purpose is to serve God.
No, your purpose is to obey.
You
want to
tell me what my purpose is?
Did you
talk to God and ask him what my purpose is?
He told me.
Oh, he did?
To obey
your
husband.
Did he also tell you that he called me?
To obey
your husband. Did he call you and on the phone and say, I called Deidre to be a pastor?
But listen, her purpose is to obey her husband, have babies, watch over his children while he's away.
Okay, now you tell me those scriptures.
Clean,
tell me those scriptures.
Be a wife.
Because you know that Proverbs 31 says that a woman is a business owner, that she buys land, and he doesn't even ask her about that land, that she is the manager of her staff, of her servant, that she makes clothes,
well,
she goes to the marketplace.
Well, if she's not married, she better get out there and work, you know.
But Proverbs 31 is for the married woman.
Let me ask, do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
I believe that those human beings who have not received Jesus Christ are definitely in a fallen state.
And what does it mean to be in a fallen state?
That they have fallen away from the glory that we all have forfeited.
Yeah. Do you realize it's the mothers who turn the children away from the fathers, in return turning them away from God?
No, it's not a matter of do I realize, do I agree? No, I do not.
Why not?
Because I don't see that the scriptures say that.
It says that all who are born of the flesh are dying, and those who are born of the spirit are living.
It also says, yes,
meaning
born
that
of the
those
spirit.
Who have overcome mama and returned to the fathers.
That's nonsense. That's straight out shenanigans and nonsense.
Why do you say that?
I want you to give me chapter and verse where it says that.
There will come a day when I return the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children.
That doesn't mean that the mothers are the ones who caused the division.
Yeah.
Show me that verse.
Because the mother...
no, not because. Show me that verse.
The woman's
Show
God...
Show me that verse,
hold
sir.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. The woman's God is Satan. And
oh, Lord have mercy. You're going to make me walk out of this. I'll be like, bye-bye.
Really?
Yeah, bye-bye.
Why?
Because that's nonsense.
No, yeah. The woman's God is below, and the man's God is above.
So if I serve Elohim, if I serve Elohim, are you going to say that I'm lying and that I serve Satan?
Who is Elohim?
That my God is Satan?
Who is Elohim? He said, who is Elohim? He said, who is Ella? Who is Elohim? This is what we're dealing with. These are the people that we have been made subject to. This is it. He said, who is Elohim? Who is that? What's Elohim? It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing. It is embarrassing, y'all, that this is where we are as a people. The people of Yah have been put in a position to be under these people that are so-called our peers. This is what's happening. This is what it is. This is exactly what's happening, and this is what it is. It is. He said, who is Elohim? What's the Elohim? It's bad. It's a bad situation. It is really a bad situation. And all we can do is keep ourselves rooted and grounded in his word and live according to his law, statutes, and commandments and wait for the deliverance and train our children not to live that way. Because if they follow after everybody else, the destruction is what it's going to be. It is. It really, really is. He said the woman's God is the devil. These people in the church. These are people that's in the church. So, I mean, you know, it's just a situation, boy. I'm telling you, we got a lot of work. We have to get ourselves prepared because this is not going to get no better. This is just going to get worse. It's going to eventually get worse. It's going to go to a level, like I said, that the enemy don't know when to stop. He's going to take it to a whole nother level to the point where you're going to be scratching your head like, I can't believe this is happening. Really. It took Malcolm. Malcolm was like, man, these people out in this world is so far gone. He said, everybody's sleeping with everybody. Everybody's doing everything and anything. When the moment you bring up the Most High or the Bible, everybody, don't nobody want to hear it. She was like, everybody's doing whatever they want to do, and this is the topic that they just really don't care to hear about. And then there's Israel. And you wonder why he woke you up. Why am I the only one that he woke up in the whole family? Because somebody in the earth has to be able to proclaim his name. They have to. He's not going to be missing among the other gods. He's just not. And these people are serving the gods that they were given. And this is what you see. They are serving the gods that they were given. Area code 504, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, I agree with what you were saying, and you know they said that this is a stiff-necked generation, this generation right here is very stiff-necked. And another thing, I saw a video where a lady broke up with, I don't know if it was her husband, boyfriend, or what, and she said, well, now I don't need a man. I just go on my phone, whatever it is, robot, and that's her boyfriend, and he talks to her every day. She texts this AI, it texts her back, and they had the AI dressed as a woman, and she asked the AI, why are you wearing women's clothes? And it told her, well, this is how I feel today, and I'm trying to cheer you up because of your breakup, and it was horrible.
How bad?
This is where this is where the world is headed, not us. But, like you said, we do need to, those that have children and can afford to pull their children out of the schools and find somebody to homeschool them about, Hebrew Israelite. We need our own school. But,
and they're
like
not
going to
let
we,
us.
They no, they're going to have all kinds of stipulations, and you got to meet this criteria and all. Yes, I know. But hopefully.
And we
got to
work.
We
got to work.
Whew. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And as far as people, the ones getting tattoos and on their children, the Bible does tell you not to put any piercing or markings on your body. So people weren't supposed to even pierce the ears, and they gone so far as piercing the nose and the tongue and other parts of the body too.
Well, now we did wear nose rings. We had nose rings and earrings, and that part of the Most High did allow. He just did not want you marking up your body. He, in terms of piercing, we had gold earrings and nose rings. He gave us all those things. I think it's in Ezekiel chapter 16, if I'm not mistaken. But we had all those things. Well, he said don't mark up, don't put any marks or anything on your bodies or anything like that. And, I mean, they doing it. It ain't nothing you can do. It ain't nothing you can do. You just got to, I don't know. Because we have to work and we have to go to work every day in order to provide for our families, we have to teach our children what to believe and what not to believe. And then we have to challenge what they're teaching them. We have a right to challenge what they know. We have a right to do that. So, let me find that scripture, but it's very interesting, I'm telling you. Let me see if it's in here. Hold on a minute. Let me get this up. Okay, here we go. Let me see. We can start at verse number 10, Ezekiel 16. It says, I've clothed thee also with broidered work and shrouded thee with badger skin. I gird thee around with fine linen and covered thee with silk. I deck thee also with ornaments and put bracelets upon thy hand, a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thy ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. And thou was decked with gold and silver, thy raiments of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou was exceeding beautiful, and didst prosper into a kingdom. He said, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Most High Elohim. He said, I gave you all those things. He said, but thou didst trust in thy own beauty and played the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornication on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and decked thy high places with divers colors, and played the harlot thereupon, and the like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. And then he says, for thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and made it to thyself images of men, and did commit whoredom with them. It said, thou and took thy broader garments and covered them. And thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. He said, you had the nerve to take the stuff I gave you and created a false image. And you my oil and my incense and my garments. He said, the meat also which I gave thee, and fine flour and oil, and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Most High Elohim. So he gave us all those things. He said, moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and daughters, whom thou was born unto me, and these thou hast sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of my whoredom a small matter? This is why we sitting here today. Thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. You burned up your own children as a sacrifice to these demons and gods. He said, in all thy abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth when thou was naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Most High Elohim. So he gave us all of these things. We just weren't supposed to put no tattoos on us. Hold on, let me get that. Hold on, I got one more thing for the women, because I got to get this. Because, you know, we deal with, when these men always try to tell what women ain't supposed to, and y'all ain't supposed to do this, and He says, therefore, he says, moreover, the Most High said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and we thought we was the stuff. I mean, when I tell you we thought we was the stuff, we was the stuff, but we weren't. He said, and you walk with stretched forth necks and wanted eyes and walking and mincing as they go and making a tingling with their feet. Our sisters were sharp. That's why we still dress today. We got prideful. He said, therefore, the Most High will smite a scab the crown of thy head of the daughters of Zion and will discover their secret parts. He said, in the day that the Most High will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, we wore ankle bracelets, their crawls, and their round tires like moons. He said, the chains, we had chains, bracelets, the mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the leg, the headbands, the tablets, the earrings, the rings, the nose jewelry. This is in Isaiah 3:16. We started at Isaiah 3:16. The changeable suits of apparel. That's why we like clothes like we do. The mantles, the whipples, the crisping pins, the glasses, the fine linen, the hoods, and the veils. We had it all. And then he get into the ugly. He said, and it shall come to pass, instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. That's why black women's hair, most of them don't grow long. This is something he did to us. And instead of a stomacher, a girdling of sackcloth, and in burning instead of beauty, because we didn't carry our, so we didn't do it with humbleness. We didn't. Because we had the best of the best. And then they want you to walk around now with grease on your face. Don't put no, y'all ain't supposed to wear nothing. You ain't even supposed to, please. Don't put no, because Paul said this. You ain't supposed to put no, don't put no gold in your hair. Don't do that. The Most High gave all of, he gave it all to us. Hold on. Eric code 218, your mic is open. You're on the air. Sister Santiago, your mic is open.
Oh, hello. Yes, I wanted to say that I really appreciate what the lady was saying, because she did something that was phenomenal. She kept challenging that man and saying, show me the scriptures, because he was making his own narrative and his own gospel. And that's what we should always do. Otherwise, people give you one scripture, and then they just run off, and they just try to circle around and tie you up in knots. And so she stuck to her guns. And also, with regard to the Messiah, as she was saying, women are supposed to be in charge of their own money. They're the ones that funded much of his ministry, which means they had latitude as to where they spent their money and how and with whom they spent their money. And so women had agency, and he's the one, and they're the ones that he depended on. And so when you look at all of these things, what they're trying to do is disempower women and make them subjects. But that is contrary to the Bible. It's contrary to what we see being acted out in the scriptures, and it's contrary to the word. And if you cannot tell me where it's found in the Bible, I leave it. Because if the Most High doesn't speak on it, I will not speak on it. I will not hold something to anyone to something that the Most High is not holding them to. But I often notice that people will say something, and then they add stuff. I'm thinking, that's not in that scripture. But
yeah.
if you just take that one thing and say, oh, it's scripture, and you don't listen for what they're adding, they'll have you doing all kinds of things.
Oh, well.
So I really appreciate what she did.
Yeah, and he didn't know that. And he's supposed to be a pastor. He's talking about, well, Elohim, what's the Elohim? I mean, just, he said, look, hey, oh, my goodness, you know, this is why we have to continue to cry out for him to deliver us. Deliver us from this place.
Well, I've heard it all. First of all, he wants to keep her in the house. Then when she says women are supposed to work, then he says she needs to get out of the house. But also, he's also saying everything she has is supposed to be turned over so he can manage it. He can't even manage the scripture. Oh, please. You know?
Would you say please? Oh, yeah, I mean, hey. And you know what? You know how we used to see those women from India with the jewels in their forehead? That was ours. We did that. Ezekiel 16:12. That was ours. That's something we did. That was the children. That was the daughters of thine, the children of Israel. That was the women of Israel. That was ours. All of this stuff, we've been here so long, and we've been in captivity for so long that we don't realize how beautiful of a nation we were. We don't realize the wealth that we had because nobody's talking. They keep it here because it's all been distributed among the Gentiles and the other nations.
You know, something I think about is that when people are, I'm specifically thinking about, because I've heard men tell women, shut up and be quiet, when the women were saying something and they had nothing to add and they felt, oh, I'm supposed to be the one leading this and this. I said, wow. But it's just really something else. I lost my train of thought there.
That's all right. I have those moments too. It's going to come back to you. But, yeah, it is. It's crazy. But it's because they don't know the word. And again, like I said, if you want to know what the Gentile looks like, all you got to do is look at Jerusalem. Because the Most High said the Gentile, Jerusalem is being trodden down underfoot by the Gentile. If you want to know what ethnicity they are, look at Jerusalem. You'll be able to see that.
I know what I was going to say. When I hear when people are trying to control others, like these men that tell their wives that they're supposed to just be housekeepers and they're not supposed to have their own money and everything that they generate is supposed to be for the house, and basically they're supposed to be subservient and dependent. What they're saying is that I do not trust you to be independent of me. I have to keep you under my thumb because if I don't, I think you'll leave. It should be that the woman has all of the resources that she needs. She controls them and she is there because she wants to be, because she loves that person, because that person treats her well. If you're not treating somebody well, you have to keep them in bondage. Otherwise, they'll leave you. So whenever I see that kind of stuff, I'm thinking, you know what? This is because if this person had a choice, they would not be with you. But if they really care about you and appreciate how you're treating them, they'll say, look, I'm not going to get anything any better anywhere because this man treats me the way that I really want to be treated, and I, in turn, will treat him likewise. But when I see this kind of stuff going on, when he's telling women that they're the devil, if you think somebody's the devil, then you don't see anything redemptive in them. It's like you have to beat the devil out of them. You have to suppress them. You have to change them. Anything but acknowledge who they are, which is what the Creator made them to be, which is in his image. So that's what crossed my mind when I was thinking about that.
All praises. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that with you, that you guys understand that it wasn't a – we weren't just an old, lowly nation where didn't nobody want to be bothered with you. In order for you to be holy, you got to put grease on your face and walk around with a little, with your head hanging down. That's not what he meant. Especially for the children of Israel. We are not meant, this is the children of Israel that he's talking to. We wore the best of everything. We had the best of it. He made sure we had the best of everything. Just like he's going to make sure it's going to be all right when we leave. You're going to have what you need. He's going to provide for you. And that's just real talk. All of this, and Lord have mercy, I don't know. I was going to say something, but I dare not. But we're going to get there. We got to pray that we get out of here. But train your children up. Teach your children about the Most High. Understand what his laws, statutes, and commandments are. Understand the reason why he gave them to us, Leviticus 18. He told you that. He said, this is why these nations got spewed off the land. This is why I'm giving you the land, even though the land was always Shem's anyway, according to, I think, the book of Jubilees or Jasher, that Canaan ran and took the land, but the land was always Shem's. So it's going back to Shem's descendants. So we have to be prepared. We have to be ready. And we have to keep our mind and our heart directed toward Yah. And we have to teach our children who he is and what we can and cannot do. They're never too young to teach them certain things. Because they're going to learn it in school when they get around these other kids from the other nations. These kids doing all kind of stuff, little kids. And a lot of people are homeschooling their kids. They really are. They are homeschooling their children to keep their children out of that and keeping away from that influence to the degree where somebody else gets to share it with them what's right and what's wrong. They really are there homeschooling their children. You know. So we're coming to the end of our show. Brother Uriah, you want to make an announcement about when we come together tonight to end the new moon ceremony? I'm unmuting your mic. Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
Yes, we will be meeting tonight at 8:30 to close out our new moon celebration.
All right, and we're going to meet on what number? Class number?
On the class number.
All right.
Not on this line, but the other line we have class on.
All right, so everybody that was there last night, come tonight at 8:30. It's going to be quick. We give you to 8:33, and then we're going to dismiss. So if you show up at 8:35 or 8:40, we already going to be gone. So, you know, just wanted to let you guys know that this is our new moon ceremony. This is the end of it. So on that note, I have enjoyed the call, as usual. I have enjoyed the conversation, the feedback, as usual. And you know what, you guys, we'll see you guys next week on our regularly scheduled program. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week. Good night, everybody.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.